Well, as we come to our time of hearing the scripture, as I mentioned, it's Ascension Sunday. And so today we commemorate the moment when the disciples witnessed Jesus leaving this physical world. He had spent some quality time with them, helping them understand more about their faith and the continued mission that they must now carry on in the world. He asked them to encourage people to a change of heart, to believe in hope and life and love that was his message on earth. And as often as we often do when we take our leave from someone we love, Jesus blessed his followers.
Luke 24:44-53. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending to you what my Abba God promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy. And they were continuously in the temple, praising God.
We have been reading some of the apostles' letters that circulated among the early churches. They read these letters as they gathered for meals, just as we have been doing. Here's an excerpt from a letter sent to an early Christian community. We can imagine it being written for us as a community that needs prayers, that needs a spirit of wisdom.
Ephesians 1:15-23. "Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named not only now, but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything in this way."
To be the body of Christ as the church is to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, to see through the eyes of love. As Christ's body here on earth, we try to create the same conditions of love that he did when he was here on earth. We hope that the eyes of our hearts can be continually opened, as the disciples were that day of Jesus' ascension, so that we can be the best representation of his love here on earth. Perhaps we can see ascension with Christ as an elevation or heightening of our gratitude and of our commitment to do good in the world. Ascension Day, I have an Ascension Day prayer for you, and that's always good to know that someone is praying for you. And I not only pray it for you, but I pray this prayer for myself, and I hope that you will pray this prayer for me as well. And the prayer is, I hope that you can see a little better. I hope that you have better vision. This, I mentioned this a few weeks ago to the kids that the church I was a part of as a child, they posted the hymns at the front. There was a board, and there would be the numbers of the hymns. And so the first hymn, you'd look up and you'd say, well, 363. And then you'd say, okay, then, you know, you turn to that, your hymnal, and second, third, and fourth. And my older sister, she couldn't see it. And so she would always ask me, she'd say, you know, well, what's the number? And my vision was strong enough. I've always had pretty good vision. And I would tell her. But then one day she got glasses, a new prescription, and then she could see, and she didn't need to ask me anymore. It was, you know, this miracle of science that she could see. Well, my prayer is like that in a way that I pray that you are able to see. But it's not with your eyes, but with your heart. That was the prayer for the Ephesian church that we heard in one of our scripture readings here. It says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of revelation so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or strengthened. Now, I don't know about you all, but I'm like my sister in a way that I don't see very far with the eyes of my heart. I get weighted down with the concerns of the moment. Some days I'm tempted into this idea that if I don't do the things that I do, that somehow the world won't go on and somehow the planet will stop. I don't know. I think we're all tempted to think this way for a time or two, that your to-do list gets kind of long and you start to think, if I don't do these things, then I don't know what happened. If I don't accomplish these things that I do, then somehow everything will come to a halt. And I'm always surprised, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to live in some different places, and it's always interesting to go back to places I used to live. And I go back and I visit, and I find life has continued. Life goes on without me. And there's a part of me that's a little surprised to think, man, I was so sure that I was holding it all together. But look, you know, life has gone on. They're doing okay without me. When I get that way, when I start to think, well, if I don't do what I do, then life will continue. Maybe what's happening is I'm not seeing very far. When your back is loaded down with a lot of weight, you know, when you're stooped over with the weight of life, maybe you only see a few feet ahead of you. You only notice the weight that you're carrying. You don't see very far. And this year, we've all been this way, haven't we? We've all been this way. There have been so many times I've heard people say, or I've said this myself, to say, I never expected anything like this, or I never experienced anything like this in my life. And I remember thinking, maybe like back in January, thinking, I thought, this won't be this bad. I remember SARS in the early 2000s. I was living in Buffalo, and there was an outbreak of SARS in Toronto, just kind of around Lake Ontario there. And then that passed. I remember the swine flu of a few years ago, and that passed. And I thought, this will kind of be just like that. This will, it'll pass. But there were other voices out there. If I was listening, there were other voices saying, hey, this is really serious. And now I think I should have listened. We all should have listened. Our government should have listened. And they're still saying this is serious. I don't know. Part of me wonders maybe if we've kind of stopped listening. But here we are. And this isn't over. And it's going to be with us for a while. That's the heaviness of this moment. And if you're like me, I've had moments where I'm down and discouraged. Because I miss things, and I know you do too. I miss taking our little guy out to do things, the activities he and I would do on a day I was off. I miss those things. I miss my coffee house friends. I miss just not having to worry. And it's natural to feel that way, and I have a feeling that all of you are there with me too. But we can get weighted and weighted and weighted where we're just stooped over with all of the weight of that. And when we get that way, I think we only see the needs of the moment. And don't get me wrong, the needs of the moment are significant and can't be ignored. But we develop a sort of a spiritual myopia. We only see the needs of the moment. And I'm praying that we might see a little better. I'm praying that we might, even though the weights of the moment are significant, I'm praying that we might see a little farther. And that's the prayer for the Ephesians in what we read from the book of Ephesians here. It says that the eyes of their heart may be strengthened or enlightened, that they might see better with their hearts. The prayer is that they might see the hope to which they're called, that they might see, as in that video we heard, that love gets the last word, that we might see and know that, that they might see the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, that they might see what God is doing in this world. The prayer is the hope of their inheritance, that they might see it and live it and know it a little better. We've probably all seen that movie or read that story. It's a story that's been repeated many times of the everyday guy finding out he inherits something. You know, you've seen that movie, haven't you? The normal person, the normal man or woman, maybe lives in a small town, living an everyday kind of life, and then one day a lawyer shows up. And the lawyer says, guess what? You had a rich uncle, a rich aunt. You never saw them. And this uncle or aunt didn't have any children. And now this uncle or aunt has died. And you are the recipient of the inheritance. And it's a lot. You've seen that movie, haven't you? You've heard that story. It's a rags to riches story. The normal person, all of a sudden through inheritance, is ushered into wealth and mansions and high society, sort of like the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, all of a sudden the normal person is ushered into a different kind of world. Well, that's a story of inheritance, that someone is given something by virtue of being a part of a family. You receive what was your parents or your grandparents or whoever, just by being family, just by being who you are. Well, the good news for us as Christians is we are adopted into a family. We are joined into the family of God. And we get an inheritance. That's what it says in Ephesians. It says, in Christ, you have obtained an inheritance. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a pledge of that inheritance. That we have an inheritance along with all of the saints. Now, we Protestant Christians, maybe we don't use that word saint a whole lot. And I think Christians usually think of, when they think saint, they think of only the super holy person, you know, the best of the best of the holiest of people. And the world is blessed by people like that. We've all probably known a saint or two in our lives where you just lived a holy and generous and a good life. But a saint, you know, in the general term, is one who lives in response to God's call. When someone experiences God's call on their life and they respond to it, they are living a saintly life. And so that's all of us, as much as we respond to God's call. And it says, here in Ephesians that we, along with all the saints, we look forward to an inheritance. So my prayer for you is that you might see a little better. That you might see, just like it said in the video that she said, to see how far love goes. That my prayer for you is that you might have the eyes of the heart to see how far love goes. It says in the fullness of time that God will gather all things to him. And you know what this is like, aren't you? You're on a trip. Maybe you've been on a trip for a few days and it's time to go on to your next stop. And what do? You gather up your things, all of your stuff, your clothes, your books, your hairbrush, whatever. You gather it all up. You say, time to pack, and you put it all in the suitcase, and you sit on top of the suitcase so you can zip it up, and you can. What you're doing is you're gathering all of your things to yourself. My cat Max, after a while, he was an inside cat, but there was a point in his life where I started letting him outside a little bit. That after dinner, it was, assuming the weather was nice, and he didn't want to go out if it was cold, but if the weather was nice, he and I, we would go outside for just a few minutes. And he liked it. After a while, he started begging for it. He knew it was his time to go out, and he didn't do much once we got out there. He stayed in my little yard, and he just kind of nose around and look at things, and he was content just to be out there. But after a few minutes, we didn't do it long, maybe 15 minutes or so, I'd say to him, I'd say, okay, Max, you know, time to go in. And he knew, and he didn't run off or anything like that. And what I would do is I'd scoop him up and I'd say, okay, it's time to go inside. What I was doing was I was gathering him to myself. You understand what this is like, don't you? When I was a child, there was a friend I used to play with at his house, and he had this big, huge backyard, and we'd be out running around out there and having fun. And his mom on the back porch had a bell. And if it was lunchtime, she'd ring that bell, ding, 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 and call out. She'd say, you know, lunchtime, time to come in. And what she was doing was she was gathering us in. Well, what we proclaim as Christians is that God is in the business of gathering us up. God is gathering up God's people. The saints of God are gathered up into an inheritance. And it's more than just, you know, streets of gold or pearly gates. I think sometimes the Bible uses images like that when we have no way of comprehending what God is yet to do. You know, we can't describe what God is in the business of doing, so we have to use what metaphors we can. What we do know, what we do believe is that God is gathering us up. God is gathering up creation into an inheritance where God is there, where all God's people are there, where creation itself is redeemed, where creation is made whole, where as the video says, where love gets the last word. That's what God is bringing about. That's the ultimate work of God, where all the saints of God are gathered up into where love gets the last word. So my prayer for you is that you might see a little better, that you might see what God is doing with the eyes of your heart. My prayer for you is that you might see it a little better. And my prayer is for, you know, when we are weighted down, when we get weary, when we get negative, when the hurts of the world start to turn us hurtful, and all of us have been in a situation like that, haven't we, where it's just the worries of this life begin to turn us to a dark place, where the disappointments of the moment turn our hearts only toward disappointment, where we can only see this, well, like I said, where you're weighted down and you can only see the steps in front of you. But I pray that when you're in those moments, and we're in a moment like that right now, my prayer still is that you might see a little better. When we start to get discouraged by this challenging moment, and we're all there, I know we're all there, and we've all had moments of anxiety and discouragement and hardship, and that's natural right now. I mean, we've all felt that way. We're all in the same boat together, and they're going to keep coming for a while. I mean, we'll still have moments like that. That's the bad news. But I pray, and this is the good news, that the eyes of your heart, even in those moments, might be strengthened, so that you might see that the hardship of the moment does not get the last word, that you might see that love gets the last word, that you might see the hope to which we are all called. Because we're called into a hope, sisters and brothers, we're called into an inheritance where all of God's people are gathered, where every tear is wiped dry, where praise replaces pain, where peace overcomes persecution, where joy lasts, and where God reigns, where Christ's love is the law of the land. That's the inheritance to which we're called, with all of God's saints, with all of God's people, that God is gathering us all up. So I pray that you might see it a little better. Today, when you're overwhelmed, when you're discouraged, when you think the hurt of the moment is all that there is, when you're so very tired, my prayer for you is, with the eyes of your heart, you still might see a little better. Amen.